What's up, Dream Warriors? Welcome back to another episode of a podcast on Elm Street. We are your hosts, Mark.
And Brooke.
And this week we are coming at you with my pick of April, and I chose The Autopsy of Jane Doe from 2016. Why I picked this, I don't really have an answer. I was just kind of scrolling around, and I think both of us have wanted to do this. I mean, we're fucking 250 plus episodes in, and I think it's a one that's worthy of an episode for sure. But yeah, when's the last time you watched this one?
Can tell you
Oh, you have
actually.
it on?
Yeah.
I had never logged it, so.
Well, maybe I just reviewed it. I don't think I logged it properly.
Back in the day when we didn't know how to use Letterboxd properly.
Yeah. So it's probably
Okay,
been like, I don't know, a few years at least.
cool.
Yeah.
Was this like your second time watching it, or have
It
you watched
was,
it?
yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I think it's only my second time too, but. All right, cool. Before we dive into this movie, though, we'll kick off our news and booze. What are you drinking tonight?
Still drinking my Broadheads. I got the Ottawa Wheat 26.
Nice.
How about you?
I got some Coors slushy
Okay.
seltzers. We hosted Easter here on Saturday at our house, and someone left like half a case of these, so I was pretty fucking stoked about that.
There you go.
Because I love these things. Drinking a grape right now, and then I got a cherry on deck.
Okay.
Litty like a titty tonight.
Um,
All right, what's your last four watched?
I don't think there was much, honestly. I'm playing a shit ton of Crimson Desert, obviously.
Yep.
Let's see. Yeah, I mean, rewatch Sinners. You already knew that. Watch it with family on Easter on the weekend. But I watched Crime 101. It's
Nice.
a new movie, came to Prime last week, I think.
Yeah.
It was all right. It's just your typical, heist thriller kind of crime movie.
Okay.
That was pretty good. So, and what else? That's it.
That's it.
Yeah.
All right.
Crimson Desert has me in a chokehold.
Yeah, man, it's so fucking good. It's so good. Yeah, I haven't watched a lot either. I watched the Deathstalker remake the other night.
Right.
I enjoyed it. It's a lot of fun. It's campy, it's cheesy, it's fucking just over the top stupidity. But I think it's a really good remake to the original. It kind of held true to a lot of things, and I think they did a good job. I don't think you've watched the OG, eh?
No, I haven't. No.
No, I recommend, man. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's been it too. I fucking Crimson Desert is, if GTA 6 wasn't coming out this year, like if GTA 6 does come out this year, is how I should word this.
Exactly.
That's obviously going to take Game of the Year just because of what it is. But I think Crimson Desert has a very strong argument to have that. And I mean, we're only first week of April, so it's pretty early in the year. Who knows? Some of these other games that are coming out this year might be better, but as it stands right now, man, this game is so fucking good.
Curious thing though, I don't want to check and see. Okay. So GTA 6, as of right now, has a release date of never November 19th.
Yeah.
The Game Awards last year aired December 11th.
That's true.
Is that too close to
It might
be
be.
2026
Yeah.
Game Awards?
Yeah, that might push into 2027.
Yeah.
'Cause there was another game last year or 2 years ago that was kind of similar, like where it was definitely a contender, but I think it moved on to the next year.
I think so. I think it was one of the Zelda games, maybe, or
Maybe,
something.
yeah.
But yeah.
But anyways, yeah, Crimson Desert, strong argument to win game of the year so far, anyways. Yeah. All right. Our news. I feel like we fucking maybe we, did we not do the news last week? No. Anyways.
I don't remember.
Yeah. Scream 8 is officially in development by Spyglass.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, with sisters Lila and Nora Zuckerman are writing it.
Okay.
They did Poker Face, I guess. Blair Witch Project remake reportedly finds a director. They're
I thought there
saying,
was already a remake.
yeah, there was. I guess they're doing another one. Dylan Clark has been attached to it.
Interesting.
Backrooms official runtime is 1 hour 45 minutes. Not that that's big news, but have you watched the trailer for that?
I caught glimpses of the trailer. Looks pretty
Yeah, it
good.
looks creepy as fuck. American Horror Story season 13 is coming back, and a lot of the old recurring characters are coming into it. Like Jessica Lange's going to be in it, Sarah Paulson, Evan Peters. What was this one? Oh, this is the one that I said interesting news. Noah Hawley is directing the remake of Damien Rugna's Terrified.
Oh, okay.
So they're doing an Americanized remake.
Interesting.
Yes. I don't know how I feel about that because
Yeah,
I don't know. The
same.
original was so good.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it'll have the same themes or not, because I don't know.
Yeah.
Argentina doesn't give a fuck about much when it comes to making movies.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like dead kids and shit. I don't know. We'll see.
Okay.
That's all I have for news, though. I don't know if you had anything to add
No,
or not.
not really. Actually, not really news, but so the Dune Part 3 70mm IMAX tickets were released last week.
Yes.
And from what it seems, from what I've seen videos and stuff, it seems that the scalpers from the music scene and also the sports scene have came to the movie scene, unfortunately.
Oh, for fuck's sakes.
Yeah. So
Really?
one guy I follow, he lives in New York, tried to get tickets and it crashed, and like 15 seconds later it was all sold out. And
Jesus.
there's people reselling tickets on eBay for like $2,000 a ticket.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
Like, do they really think that people are gonna pay that? I mean, some people probably wouldn't fucking pay
Yes,
it,
they
but
would. Yeah.
that's nuts, dude.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
Huh. Well, I mean, at least the box office sales are gonna be through the roof.
That's true. Yeah.
Fucking pre-sales already sold out.
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting. That's shitty though.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
All right, what do we got for 4Ks?
4Ks. We could just skip this movie right here.
Mercy?
Yeah.
I've never seen it. Is it bad?
I've heard it's dog shit. Yeah.
Oh. Well,
Oh,
shit.
we got Carlito's Way. The Deer Hunter.
Nice.
Pretty sick steelbook. Oh, pretty short list. And Gilda on Criterion.
four movies this week.
That's it.
All right, then. Short and sweet. All right. Well, in that case, let's dive into this movie.
Let's do it.
I like to say in the intro this week, we're talking about The Autopsy of Jane Doe from 2016. Starting off with the synopsis, this is a short one, too. Father and son coroners investigate the death of a beautiful Jane Doe. Very simple.
She is dead and she is beautiful.
Yeah, agreed and agreed. This was directed by Andre Uvedal, who we just talked about not too long ago, because he directed Troll Hunter. Yeah. And Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, The Last Voyages of Demeter, and Mortal. This movie has a short but good cast list. We have Brian Cox playing Tommy, Emile Hirsch playing Austin, Ophelia Lovibond playing Emma, and Olwyn Catherine Kelly playing Jane Doe. Notice how I said playing. This was a real person on this gurney, butt-ass naked, for the entire movie. And fucking kudos to her, man, because Sarah watched the first half of the movie with me and she's like, okay, I'm going to bed before this gets too weird. And I said to her, I'm like, that's got to be the hardest role that you can play. Just being so fully exposed and having, like, obviously a whole bunch of people in the room with film crew. And then these two guys just like poking and prodding at you and like moving your body all over the place. And I forget what it was. I think she filmed for 8 days or 5 days and 8 hours a day or something like that.
Yeah, she did yoga and stuff to prepare for it. And
Yeah.
I was gonna bring this up later, but I'll say it now. I think this is like one of those underrated performances that obviously no one really knows about.
Yeah.
I kind of compare this to like the performance in Malignant.
Okay, yeah.
Whenever we found out that the person in the prison scene was actually a fucking person doing
Yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Like,
It's like one extreme to the next, right? Like
yeah.
extreme body movements to extreme no body movements.
Nothing at all, like not
Yeah.
even blinking and just fully nude for,
An hour and a
30.
half, basically. Yeah. Anyways, I didn't have any honorable mentions. There's only like three other people that are in this movie outside of these ones, so.
Yeah, the only other one I recognized was the sheriff, Sheriff Burke. What else was he in? Game of Thrones, he played Roose Bolton. That's probably what
Oh
everyone's
shit,
called.
okay.
He was on Chernobyl as well, but yeah, definitely I recognize now they see it, Game of Thrones for sure.
Yeah. All right, let's dive
Cool.
in.
So yeah, it opens up at a crime scene. There's all these cops and people taking pictures. This old lady was shot. A few other people were killed. Tons of blood just everywhere. They end up in the basements. There's just a ton of blood down there on the walls. Stuff like that. And they find a woman half buried in the ground. And the sheriff and the policewoman are like kind of like, there's no forced entry. And the girl's like, it almost seemed like these people were trying to break out.
Yeah.
It wasn't someone trying to break in. Yeah, I love the first time I watched this movie, I think I rated it very, very high. Because I had no idea what I was getting into with this movie. Like, I never watched a trailer. I didn't really know what it was about.
Yeah.
And I love that you can kind of walk through the whole autopsy procedure and you're figuring out what's happening at the same time as our protagonist.
Yeah, I feel like it's a very in-depth autopsy because like we see autopsies in movies all the time, but I feel like yeah, how you said, like you're starting from the very beginning and you're like they're finding like broken bones and like they cut open her chest cavity and she's got like shit going on in there that I'm sure we'll talk about after, but like and like they have this chalkboard and they're just writing all this stuff down and I have a buddy who used to work in a morgue, so I kind of want to pick his brain about this shit.
Yeah.
Like just certain questions that I had that he would be able to answer. But
Yeah.
it's a very cool way that they film this movie.
Yeah, and like I think it's a really cool job, but like I don't think I'd be able to do it, but especially like working for the cops and stuff, right? That you're trying to figure out what happened. Like Sheriff prints this body to Austin and Tommy. Austin's the son, and Tommy's the father. And he's like, okay, got this Jane Doe, and like, okay, we can work on it in the morning. He's like, no, I need you guys to do it tonight because I don't know anything about this crime scene. Like, I can make something up, say there was a breaking E gone, B and E gone wrong, but I need a cause of death done by the morning. So they're like, okay, we'll get on this. And then Austin's gonna leave with Emma on a date. They bring the body in, and then he kind of feels bad. They lost their mother a few years ago, and so he kind of feels like he needs to help his father. So ends up staying and says, I'll be ready by 11 p.m. Very interesting place for a morgue, a crematorium. Like, it kind of reminds me of our buddy Larry. His one of his brothers owns a funeral home too, right? And I'm pretty sure like the morgue crematorium is like under the basement of that house in Prescott, right?
I think
But
that's
so
pretty
it's
common. Well,
is it
because they have to do like, sorry, because this is a morgue. This isn't, because I don't think like they don't do embalming and shit at the morgue, right? Like they do that at the funeral home, but this is like a
yeah.
legitimate morgue.
Yeah, and crematorium, yeah, exactly.
So yeah, I guess it would be maybe a little different.
But yeah, they got like a cellar door, they got an elevator, like they're just locked in this old ass basement. And he's like teaching Austin kind of his way. Like, he's not a full mortician, but he's like a medical something, I forget what he says. They have a cat named Stanley, who likes to walk through the air vents, bringing in dead animals into the basement. And he's Austin's hearing like thudding noises in one of the freezers, where the bodies are. And then Emma shows up, and she wants to see a body, and he's like, no, I can't let you see one. She's like, well, you came to my work. He's like, you work at a bookstore. And so she's like, I'm gonna look at one. And he's like, oh, my dad wouldn't really be up for that. And then you hear Tommy come in. He's like, which one? And he's like, okay. And Austin's like, doesn't want her to, right? But she opens one of them and she's like, no, not this one. Opens another one, just like this person with the blanket on her head, but it's like caved in. All the practical effects in this movie are done really well. And just the ambiance is creepy. Yeah, what do you think of this scene of him kind of fucking with her a little bit?
Trying to remember what happens in this scene.
The bell on
Oh,
the
right.
toe of the.
And I love that too, because this comes into play like so often later on in the movie too. So it's such a what's the word that I'm thinking of? Something that happens before it actually happens.
Premonition? No.
No.
I know what you mean, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I'm having a brain fart. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of a shitty prank, but it is kind of funny.
Yeah. Because she asks, like, why is there a bell? And he's like, well, back in the old days, they couldn't really tell people were alive or, like, comatose. She's like, well, I mean, for now in, like, 2016. And he's like, oh, I'm a traditionalist. And then she goes like take the blanket off the face. And I'm like, why would you want to see a guy with fucking took a shotgun to the face? And then he rings the bell and she gets scared, and that was funny. Yeah, so like I said, Jane Doe arrives. Austin doesn't want to go, ends up staying to help. We see Stanley starts growling whenever the body comes in. And I like how because Austin is still learning and Tommy's like teaching him, and he's like going through like, okay, we got the four stages. We got to do the external, the internal evaluation. We got to check the brain, all the organs. Like they're kind of running us through what needs to happen too.
Yeah, it's really cool. Like, because a lot of times movies will assume that you know what they're doing. Whereas this one, it's almost like it's a fucking school course in a sense, right? Like they're teaching you every step of the way.
Exactly. He says that he's in her mid to late 20s. They start seeing some weird stuff. She doesn't have rigor mortis. Her wrists and ankles are fractured. Her tongue was cut off. There's a fly in her nose. Her
Her nose starts
molars.
bleeding.
Her molars missing. And they're all like, this is weird stuff. Tommy says, oh, I saw this somewhere in, I don't know, San Diego or someplace. And it's like two girls were kidnapped and they tied their ankles and stuff like that. So they're trying to like figure out what happens. Girl, they think it was like sexual like abduction kind of thing. They find a fabric in her mouth. They check her vagina. There's no seminal fluid. And then he says that she's torn up inside. And it's cuts that's inside her, not like someone, raped her.
Yeah, and her eyes are clouded over too. And Tommy makes mention of that. He said this would suggest that she's been dead for like multiple days. But like you said, like the rigor mortis hasn't set in yet. Like she's still like fully mobile with her limbs. And like there's no external bruising or anything like that, like where her wrists and ankles would have been tied up. And just. Yeah, it's really like everything that's wrong with her is inside, but there's nothing wrong with the outside of her.
No, exactly. So they're gonna do the internal evaluation, they do the Y incision, whatever it's called. Then all of a sudden like lights start flickering, the radio starts acting weird, playing this weird music, and then like all this ton of blood comes out of her. And Austin's like, that's not supposed to happen. And they open her up and they think it's melanoma possibly. There's a lot of weird stuff happening. There's like blood dripping from the fridge where they keeping her body parts. They mentioned her waist is really small, and then Tommy mentions that, well, a corset would do this, and Austin's like, well, I mean, those hasn't been in fashion in a long time. But
So we're getting all these clues while they're doing this that like something's not right.
And like, I think that's why I rated it so high the first time, because like I had no idea what it was. But like I said, we're learning as they're going, and like when you start piecing the things together and you're like, is this a fucking witch? And you're like, holy shit, that's so cool. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, because like the whole corset thing, like that would be fashion from whenever she was kind of around. And they found, like you said, they found that fabric in her mouth and they spread it out. And it's like this square piece of fabric and there's this symbol in the middle of it. And then there's Roman numerals all around it and like letters and shit like that. And it's not until later on, whenever.
Like the end of the movie, pretty much.
Do you want me to stop?
No, I'm saying like he they write the Roman numerals, it's like whatever. But at the end of the movie, Austin figures it out, right?
Yeah, because he folds it up into like a smaller square, and all the letters form Leviticus 27. And then Tommy has a Bible in his bookshelf, and he finds that passage, and it's something about a whole like a witch,
And then
and
they
they start cluing it
find
in.
they open up her stomach, they find a little like, well, they find the flower inside of that fabric note thing, and it's what flower was it? Ginseng weed, I think. Ginseng weed. And they look in the like encyclopedia and they're like, oh, this is from the north. And then at the end of the movie, Austin's like, the north, New England. Salem witch trials, and then Tommy's like, that's wasn't didn't happen. It's just innocent people being killed, right?
He
But
said,
all
yeah, he said
this,
that there was no witches.
no, they were a myth. It's just innocent girls being killed for nothing. But the lead up to that, I think, is just so fascinating. I think the runtime of this movie is so good too. Like,
Yeah, it's
it's
perfect.
short. It is very, it's pretty scary. So we do see them. Okay, so before they go into the bathroom, they Tommy gets the idea because they look at her lungs, and her lungs are like pitch black, and they're like, well, that they would be dead, like, so Tommy decides to peel her skin back and like flay her basically, and like you can see all these symbols written on her skin on the inside, and it's like it's so fucking cool. And Austin keeps saying like, I think we should finish in the morning, like I think we should get out of here, like he thinks something's weird. They find the a bag with her tooth inside of it, as well.
And it's the radio that's fucking Austin up. 'Cause like there's news reports that there's like flash flooding outside. It's a really bad thunderstorm out there, blah, blah, blah. And then like the news reporter on the radio says, and I can guarantee you're not getting out tonight. And like it sounds like he could just be reporting because of the weather, but at the same time, it's like,
Sounds like it's talking to him.
yeah, it's like a double entendre for him.
And the one door where the body's being held keeps opening on its own. And then, yeah, all of a sudden, all the lights inside the room shatter. All the doors get opened. And Austin's like, let's get the fuck out of here. So they're trying to leave. The tree fell on top of their like trap door, and there's no signal in the basement. And the elevator doesn't have enough power. The generator is on, but it's not producing enough power to power the elevator, so they can't get out. So they get to the office, they call Burke, they kind of talk to him a little bit, but they can't really hear each other. And then they hear the bell jingle. And there's a content creator that I follow, and on his Letterboxd, he gave this like a kind of lower score, but he said it wasn't scary. I think this movie is pretty scary.
Yeah, it's fucking creepy as shit.
It is. Especially this little fucking bell, and like, they don't know what the fuck's going on, right? The door's closed, they hear this bell, and then they close the door, and they're like looking under, and you see the feet underneath it, and he just immediately, they barricade this, and the door's fucking going crazy. At one point, Tommy cut his wrist on the rib of the girl as well. And he's in the bathroom, and then all of a sudden someone's there and is like beating the fuck out of Tommy. And then Austin runs in, the door to the outside is open now, and Tommy mentions that like the eyes were gray. So something is happening in this basement.
There's another really quick scene too, that's super creepy. The fuck's name? Austin. I can't remember where he's going. He's going to get something, and they have those dome mirrors on all the corners of the hallways. And he looks in the dome mirror and he sees like a spirit, a person, whatever, on the other side, like around the corner in that dome mirror. And it's just such a fucking creepy and unsettling scene. And it's quick, but it's very effective.
Really good scene. So now they get out of there, they get back into their main room, and they notice that everything that they took out of Jane Doe is rapidly decomposing. So something's happening. They try burning her body, and basically the whole place goes up in flames almost. And I love too that like they're putting the flames out, and then like Austin looks at Jane Doe and her head's on fire, then it like slowly goes out on its own. I thought that was really cool too. Then out of nowhere, the elevator starts working momentarily. They get in there, they're trying to get the door shut, and then you hear shuffling and the bell happening again. and it's kind of like smoky a little bit. And Tommy has this axe, and you can see that it's a dead person because there's like a bandage on their face. And then all of a sudden, he just fucking hacks at it, and turns out that it's Emma that was there. So do you think it was Emma trying to mess with them back, or it just happens that she came down and they were like just seeing things?
Well, it might have been 11 o'clock
Yeah.
because Austin did say he'd be ready by 11. But the thing I don't get is how the fuck she got in there.
Yeah,
They
that's what I was
can't get
thinking
out.
too.
How does she get in?
Yeah.
That
Yeah.
was that's my only question with this movie is
Yeah.
like they're in full fucking lockdown. Like their elevator doesn't work. Their storm cellar is blocked, barricaded by a tree. I mean, they do have another staircase, but I don't know.
Because the staircase goes up to the cellar door, I think.
That's that spiral staircase that
Yeah.
happens at the end. That's up to the cellar. Yeah, so I don't know how the
Yeah, I
fuck
don't know.
she get
Yeah,
in
that's
there.
true. I don't know if she got in there. That's fair. But yeah, she's dead, and Tommy's like, we need to go, we need to go. But the elevator still doesn't work, so and then so the whole basement's like all like smoky, these lights are flashing. There's something attacking both of them in the smoke. Messes up Tommy pretty good. At one point, Tommy does like get hit in the side by something, and it has like the symbols on his body, it looked like a bit.
Yeah, like the bruising.
Yeah. So they get back in the room. Yeah, they start cutting into her brain because they look at every other organ. So they decide to take her brain out, cut a piece off, and like every other organ was kind of tampered with or looked weird. So they take a piece of her brain, put it in the microscope. Tommy looks at it and he's like shocked. Then Austin comes, or sorry, Austin switched that. Tommy comes over, looks at it, and all of her blood cells are moving. So you're like, oh shit. Like,
She's still alive.
Tommy's like, yeah, she's still alive. Like, so this is where they kind of start piecing together, you know, the Leviticus 20, 27, the Roman numerals is 1693. So this was along the Salem witch trials, and basically a false trial was made of Jane Doe. She wasn't a witch, but they tortured her mercilessly. I think I said that right. And this is her revenge, basically. She is keeping Tommy and Austin here to get her revenge. And yeah, all the trials kind of made her who she is today. Like, they made her into a witch, basically. And she wants them to feel what she went through as well.
Yeah, 'cause everything that is happening that had happened to her, she's making happen to them, right? Like with the smoke inhalation, Tommy's ribs and shit, like the bruising, how he mentioned before. She breaks his wrists and ankles.
Oh man, when I watched like that part for the first time watching it, whenever he looks into her eyes and he says, you know, I will help you no matter what, but don't hurt Austin. And he's talking to this girl, and like she just has the gray eyes, not saying anything back. And all of a sudden, like he starts getting hurt, his fucking wrists start breaking, and then everything that happened to her happens to Tommy. I thought that was just so fucking cool.
Yeah, and you can see all
How?
the damage on her getting reversed.
Yeah, and you see him like exhale like smoke, so his lungs become, you know, like he was in the fire. And then his eyes start going gray and hers turn like normal. And then he asks Austin to stab him to put him out of his misery, and he does it. So yeah, it was crazy, crazy fucking scene. So it's the next morning. Burke has arrived, and Or so you say against Burke, right? Because he goes to the door, and Burke is like, "We're cutting down the tree." He's like, "Open the door," and he's trying to open it. He's like, "I can't do it." And Burke's like, "Do it." And then all of a sudden, like, his sentence turns into like the radio again, and then Austin like falls back, and then he goes into like the railing, and then Tommy shows up and scares him. He falls off the railing and ends up dying. But yeah, she went against her word. She ended up hurting Tommy's son.
Well, I mean, she never said that she wasn't going to.
Well, yeah, that's true.
She just tricked him into thinking that, I guess. Yeah, and then like the next morning, the cops do actually show up. And again, it's just like this fucking confusing ass crime scene.
He's right back at square one.
Yeah. So, yeah, Austin's dead. Tommy's dead. Emma's dead. The Jane Doe body doesn't look like she's even had an autopsy performed. She's just fucking fresh corpse on the gurney.
But they do, like, they obviously wrote down stuff on the
Yeah.
chalkboard. They have all the stuff they took out of her, right? That they can look at. They have the video cameras. I don't know, maybe the video cameras got damaged in the fire, but they have those, right? They can go back on.
Yeah. But with all that being said, did they actually take stuff out of her body? A. And B, a lot of the pictures got damaged during that fire. So the only pictures that are left remaining are ones of like her face and stuff like that. So you can't see that they've actually performed any sort of autopsy.
That's true. Well, her body parts are in the fridge, right?
Did they find them? Did the cops find them?
Well, no, I didn't show that, but
So they might not actually be.
true. But anyway, so they're like, "Okay, what do you want to do with this Jane Doe?" And he's like, "Fucking send her to the next county, like let them deal with her." And then you see her in the van being driven, and the radio starts getting fucked with again. And then the last shot is on her feet, and you see her move her big toe.
And hear the bell.
And you hear the bell. Yeah. That's it. Cool. Anything else?
Yeah, so in the trivia on IMDb, so everything that I just said about how, like, oh, maybe they didn't actually take anything out of her. Under the spoiler tag on the trivia, there is one it says, there are many details throughout the movie that initially appear to be goofs. The time on the clock does not change the way it's supposed to with the passage of time. Austin's face does not have blood on it after he falls from the stairs. And when the police are investigating the morgue lights, they're not broken. It's very possible, though, that much of the movie's events are a result of Jane Doe causing Tommy and Austin to hallucinate, and they did not perform the autopsy at all. It is worth noting that all of the deaths are caused by the main characters harming each other, unintentionally or mercifully, and presumably the same thing happened at the Douglas house at the beginning. So, what are
Interesting.
your thoughts on that?
I don't know. Yeah. It's interesting for sure. Yeah, I don't know.
I think I'm on board with that theory because we know that they hallucinated throughout the whole thing, right? Like with the radio, the seeing of the Walking Dead people, the bells. So I could very much see this being a possible thing.
Yeah, I can see that.
And just kind of adds like an interesting element to it.
Yeah, for sure.
But anyways, that's all I had to add.
Cool. Alrighty, well, that's the way to the blood splatters.
Right, how'd you rate this one on a second watch?
Second watch, I gave it a 4 out of 5. I think it's a very well done movie. It's under 90 minutes. Acting, I think, is really good, especially the girl who plays Jane Doe. But I think Brian Cox and Emile Hirsch do a fantastic job, as one shot place, whatever the word is. I think the practical effects are really good, the ambiance, it's creepy, just a really solid horror movie.
Agreed.
How about you?
I also gave it 4 out of 5.
Okay.
And like you mentioned, the single location, I also mentioned that. But it doesn't like it feels like a single location, but there's enough going on that it keeps it very interesting. And it's not like a boring single location. I really liked the relationship between Brian Cox and Emile Hirsch. I thought they really played off each other really well. It's super fucking creepy. There's great practical effects, like you've said. I really enjoyed the script and like how the story takes this unexpected turn. And like on a first watch, like if any of our listeners haven't watched it, I mean we've kind of spoiled it obviously, but it's still worth watching for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And I just want to give a shout out to Olwen Kelly again, because I think she did so good with this. You can't like you can tell that it's a real person, but it's like she is literally dead still. And I think she did such a good job. All right. As our scores, we'll head on over to Rotten Tomatoes and see what they scored it. The critics' consensus: The Autopsy of Jane Doe subverts the gruesome expectations triggered by its title to deliver a smart, suggestively creepy thriller that bolsters director Andre Uwedal's growing reputation. So, based on that, what do you think the critics scored it?
Say like a 74.
Way too low.
Damn.
86%.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, this movie's certified fresh. That's on 108 reviews. The audience score, however, was a 72% on 10,000 ratings and an average score of 3.6 out of 5 or a 7.2 out of 10. So not bad.
Letterboxd has a 3.2 out of 5. Jess gave it 3.5. Jensen gave it a 3.5 as well. Scream and Cinema gave it a 4. Anthony gave it a 4 as well. Slash and Captain 5 stars. That's it.
All right. So pretty well received.
Yeah.
Right. I think you have something for me.
Yes. You're going to be playing a game, all right?
Right. All right.
So you are going to be blind ranking witch movies.
Oh, all
Okay?
right. Okay.
So I got 5 witch movies.
Okay, so I need to do a top five ranking.
So you're going to blind rank. I'm going to give you one by one. You're going to put it in a spot 1 to 5 without knowing what's coming next, okay?
I like
So your
this.
first movie, The Craft.
I'll go 3.
Okay, playing it safe.
Yeah.
Second movie, Blair Witch Project.
Fuck. Fuck. I'll go 2.
Okay. We will go with this movie that we just reviewed,
God damn it.
The
Fuck.
Autopsy of Jane Doe.
4.
Okay. We will go with Suspiria from 1977.
I'll go 5 because there's one, and if you say it, then
Okay.
I gotta go 5.
All right. And your number one, you probably know what it is. Robert Eggers, The Witch.
Okay, yeah, number 1.
Yeah.
That's I yeah, I knew I had to save number 1.
Nice. Okay. Would you change that ranking?
Yeah. I would put The Craft at f Ooh, fuck. The Craft at 5, probably.
Okay.
Suspiria at 4, Blair Witch
Okay.
at 3, and then this
Okay.
one at 2. So everything would switch except for number
Fair
1.
enough. Nice. All right.
Actually,
That's
Blair
me.
Witch might stick at 2. And
Yeah.
this one at 3. Yeah, I'll do that.
Okay.
That's fun. We should incorporate this in more episodes.
I plan on doing it on our
All
next
right.
episode.
Okay. All
Well,
right.
our horror episodes at least.
Yeah. No,
Yeah.
I like that idea. Good shit. All right, you ready for the scare section then?
Yes, sir.
Right, how'd you rate the scares in this movie?
I'll give the scares in this movie a 7 out of 10. I think the practical effects are done really well. The acting's creepy. The ambiance, the set of where it's at, and just the audio is done really well. Just a very creepy, scary movie. So, yeah, 7 out of 10.
Nice.
Scary scene. I'll just go with like the first bell scene, I guess, whenever they get into the office. Just they use that really, really well. And yeah, so I'll go with that.
All right.
And would I survive? No fucking way.
All
There's no chance.
right. I was gonna say, like, I
No
was typing mine
chance.
up and I was like, if he says he would survive this, I'm gonna fucking smack him.
No, there's no chance. No
Yeah,
chance.
it's fair.
So, yeah. How about you?
All right. My scares, I gave a 6 out of 10. I said it's very effectively creepy and unsettling. Nothing like over the top to make you shit your pants. Like, there's a couple of jump scares, but it's not like not anything crazy, but it's the ambiance, it's the creepiness, it's the music, it's the fucking bell, and just very creepy movie. My scariest scene, I said, like the hallway scene whenever they're trying to get in the elevator and like the lights are cutting out and you just see the guy shuffling a little bit further and then you hear the bell and then he shuffles a little bit further and it's just, ah, man, it's so creepy. And would I survive? I said no. Like, these guys were literally just doing their jobs. Like, they did nothing wrong. They're doing a good service trying to figure out the cause of death of this girl. And yeah, so yeah, there's no way. So that's it. We
Alrighty.
can wrap it up.
Wrap that shit up.
Yeah. What are we doing for our next one?
All right. So we've done nearly 300 movies, and there's one director who is controversial, considered one of the goats of the horror
Okay.
community. We've never done any of his movies.
I think I have an idea.
We will be talking about, I think it's, let me just get the date correct, 2002's M. Night Shyamalan's Signs.
Not who I was expecting, but okay. All right.
Yeah.
We've never done a sh we have done a Shyamalan movie. No, we didn't. That was Guillermo del Toro. Never mind. Okay, that's fucking wild that we've
I
never
know.
done The Village or any of them.
Never done, no, none of them. Sixth Sense, we haven't done.
Shit. I could have swore we did
Yeah.
The Village, but I guess not.
No.
Huh. That's
Yeah.
fucking crazy. So Signs. We're doing Signs.
The do signs, yeah.
All right, sick. I like that.
Yeah.
It's about fucking time.
I know, right?
That's not who I thought you were going to say, so I'm a little
Okay.
surprised. Yeah. All right.
Who'd you think I was gonna say?
I can't think of his fucking name. The guy who directed Antichrist.
Oh, Von Trier.
Yeah.
No, we
Yeah.
did his we did House That Jack Built or whatever.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I forgot he
Yeah.
directed that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Sweet. I'm excited for that.
Yeah, me too.
That's a good one. All right, but yeah, in the meantime, you guys can catch us on social media at A Podcast on Elm Street on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. And if you click the link in our bio on Instagram, you'll find links to our TeePublic account where we have our merch. There's also a link to our Patreon account if you wish to support the podcast that way. And there's links to our individual Letterboxd accounts, our Discord server, and anywhere that you can listen to us. Thanks for listening to this one.
Thank you. And we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
All right. Bye.